know, it's hard for you to believe that I've been up here all this time, and I don't even know what this little creek is here, where it comes from and where it goes.
You don't know what the name of it is, huh?
I don't even know the name of it.
Granny Creek. Right-hand fork of Granny Creek.
This is the right-hand fork?
Yes, sir. Granny Creek.
Yeah. Well, now you see, I thought Granny Creek was something way down yonder.
No, sir. You go down here, and the church down here at Forks Creek. Forks of Granny Creek.
Yeah.
The other fork's the left-hand fork.
Yeah.
Granny Creek.
And it starts up the...
Up here. At the head of the creek, we go up here to the top of the hill. Well, the watershed this way is all Granny Creek.
Uh-huh.
The watershed from the top of the hill yon way is Summer's Fork.
Summer's Fork?
Yes, sir. Summer's Fork.
You don't even talk about that.
For law.
You haven't even mentioned that.
Oh, no. So, I'll just mention it to get into a little bit of what I've had to go through with for years.
All right.
That there, Summer's Fork over there, we've been in a kind of a pull one way and another. I started to say fight, but I'll just pull one way or the other. The other fork of Granny Creek, pulling for all the road work up their fork.
Yeah.
Of course, we want our proportional part. That's all we write for. We want equal part,
mm-hmm.
which is doers. See?
But you haven't got it.
No, we haven't got it. And we haven't got anything without a fight, as the saying is. And
they don't even work on this road, do they?
They've even... No, not only when they have to. They've even went to Charleston. I've helped pay one man's expenses down there, and he took the WPA road away from us. They had it worked down to the line up here. They hadn't started napping the rock in. You know, way back down to when the WPA first come around,
mm-hmm.
they fixed country roads. Well, they'd come over this way to my line up yonder. Got that far.
Mm-hmm.
And an old fellow over the hill here got mad at the next neighbor up here, Mr. Bullard. Took the road away from us. And when we got them started back at the WPA work, a bunch of us sold in a dollar round and paid a man's way to Charleston. And he represented the right-hand fork of Granny Creek coming in from Clayside, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Took it over yon way. Over on the left-hand fork of Granny Creek. You know, the left and right forks of a creek, you number that from the mouth.
Yeah.
You start at the mouth and come up, and you turn right and you turn left.
Yeah.
From the mouth of the creek coming up. Well, they come in from the head.
Yeah.
Took the right-hand fork. That's the way they took a road away from. They'd started over into the right-hand fork from Clay County, you see.
Yeah.
Well, they, that's the way this man that we paid his way down that took a road away from us.
Yeah.
Went in from Clayside into the right-hand fork of Granny Creek.
Going down.
Yeah, going down.
Yeah.
Well, when we got tight enough and went in to the State Road Commission, they had it on the map that the right-hand fork of Granny Creek had been upgraded with a WPA road, rock-based.
Yeah.
Well, we had to straighten them out on it.
Yeah.
See? Then that's when we bought a road.
Oh, yeah. But you could, you did get them straightened out about it.
Yes, yes, but we've never got our equal shares yet.
Well, now,
they take everything away from us.
Now what did you say the WPA does? They stuck the rocks in. What'd you call it?
They graded the road and put in wood beams. They went and cut poles.
Yeah.
Didn't have times was hard then. They didn't have the metal beams. They cut poles, put a cross pole this way.
Across the road?
Across the ditch. They dug a ditch across the road to drain the water.
Yeah.
And they put a cross pole this way across the ditch. And they cut long poles, put them long ways across the road. See what I mean? They laid the sails to lay the poles on, one here and one here and one here, to hold the poles up to keep them from going down. You see what I mean? The short cross poles parallel with the road, and then the long poles, before they put the dirt in, closed the ditch. Why, they put them lengthways, crossways of the road this way.
Now, would them poles hold a good while?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, they did hold a good while.
Because you got that clay.
Well,
hold them in.
Yes, yes.
So they never get the weather, really. They just.
That's right. Underground.
Yeah.
Underground. So, so then they come along. After they did that, widened the road and graded it, they come along with and napped rock, made a rock base. They called it a WPA road.
Mm-hmm.
Took hammers and napped the rock in there by hand. Man labor.
Yeah, like the Chinese do.
Well, I don't know how the Chinese does.
Yeah.
But anyhow, that's the way they did here. Then you see, that there, that wasn't a neighborly trick. Letting on like the WPA road, they went in from the clay side and into the right-hand fork of Granny Creek. That was going down the creek.
Yeah.
Well, we had to switch it around and start at the mouth and come up, and they found out on the map that it had been misrepresented to them. You see what I mean?
Well, now, you all really made a blunder in getting a man, sending a man up there who was going to work for the other side.
Well, that's where you get fooled in people. You don't know who your friend is.
Yeah. Well,
he'll take advantage of you. take the right kind of a man, well, I put it this way, bring it down to between me and you. I wouldn't do you a trick like that.
No, you wouldn't. But a lot of other people have.
Well, it was did to us, you see.
Yeah.
And we didn't think the man would do it.
Yeah.
And they fought us from that day to this.
And still fighting us.
Yes, sir. Still fighting us. Still fighting us. And when I went to, I'll tell you this. When I went to driving school bus, we didn't have no mail out here. They got in the rest of the creek, and the people on the other fork got together, and the mail come in from the river, Camp Creek over here. That was the post office.
Whereabouts?
Camp Post Office over here. Camp Creek Post Office.
How far is that?
Well, it's over at Elk River.
How far is that? 50 miles?
Oh, no. No, about 8 or 9 miles.
Yeah.
So, they went to work and got a mail out from, we did have a mail from Camp Creek up to Ovapa over here. Well, they went to work and worked the other fork down, on down Granite Creek and through to Newton, connected with the Spencer mail at Newton, and went back up the other fork. Well, when I went to driving school bus, I got to studying and we needed mail out. Well, I could bring my mail in of an evening, you see, 5 days a week. But we needed the mail out. The more travel, the more, I'll say that's government travel, mail is. More of that kind of travel you have over your road, the better chance you have of getting road work done.
Yeah.
So, we had the school bus route. Then if we could get a mail out, we was even with the other fork on travel. Everyday travel, you see what I mean?
Well, now, on the school bus, there wasn't any politics in that. If there's children up here, they had to pick them up.
That's right, yes. They did away with our school building over here we had.
Yeah.
Country school. So, I had the first letter wrote. My name is Fred Wilson. He wrote it for me. He was postmaster over at Clay. I went to him, and he wrote a letter to the post office department, Washington, D.C. And we got it started. And that was, the first letter was dated the 15th day of April. And when we got our first mail in the box, was the first day of November, the next November. It took that long to get this. And I asked for the return mail from Newton. Not go back up the other fork, to turn and come up this fork. And at that time, there was the same number of people on this fork. Wasn't over one or two difference. I forget which way. But get practically the same number of houses that would benefit by the mail of forking down here and coming up the right-hand fork and through the old vapor.
Mm-hmm.
On the return mail back to Newton. Well, that gives the other fork mail once a day, you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But they fought us, even got a petition, even accused me of trying to take their mail away from them. Wrote a petition like to that effect and sent it in to the government, to the post office department.
Yeah.
So they come to me and cut such a shine. I said, I'll sign it, but I said, it won't do no good. You're misrepresenting it, and I'll prove it to you. I'll come in, I'll set in to get this mail, return mail. I'm not trying to take your mail. So, working on a school building over here. Man's dead now. Brought it up there, and I rallied around till I really till I signed it. And I told him, I said, I'll block it. I'm going to get that mail. So after he took it up to the post office, put it in the post office, they woman that was over the post office, keep the post office, she hadn't sent it out yet, so I followed him up. I said, now, Opal, I said, you can do us a favor if you will. You know I'm not trying to take their mail. You put a rider on this when you mail it in to the post office department and explain to them this situation. You can get our mail out. So she did that.
And it worked.
She did that and it worked, and we got our mail. Now that's how they, that's what we've, I thought all these years since I've lived here. Jealousy, you see.
Well, the two branches of Granite Street.
Yes. Jealousy. And I rode up this fork here, Guy Marl, when I was a little boy behind my daddy on an old gray mule. When I was about 6 or 7 years old, been rode up this fork that long.
Yeah.
And when this oil field started in 1926, you could ride a horse up through. And by going through the fields, you could go through and over and down into the Summer's Fork, up that fork of Granite Street. Wasn't no public road. Wasn't no public road. And after the oil companies made the road come up through the fields over here from Summer's Fork, and they'd put gates when they'd come up to this line, why they'd put a gate. When they'd come up to the line over here on this side of the farm, they'd put another gate. And they finally had to put locks on.
Yeah.
That's how they worked it to get the public road open. They got the gates locked. The people did. They went to Clay and the county court come over there, opened the gates and declared it a public road. That was since 1926 that happened.
Oh, yeah.
The oil field made the road. The oil field made the road.
And there wasn't no road. And
wasn't no road, only just a bridle path, as the saying is, for to ride horses through.
Well, you couldn't take
and
a wagon?
If you took a wagon, you had to take it through the fields up the bottom.
Oh.
That's how they moved in and out.
Oh, that's the reason you... road was out here in the bottom here.
No, no, that didn't concern this.
That's
this was just, there wasn't no, this wasn't a public road here. That was the public road over there, as I said, back when I was 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah.
Up this fork. Well, they claimed when they took a road away from us over that away, they claimed that was the old original road. Why the preacher would get up right over here when they got the blacktop road in the church. They had a road meeting in the church on Sunday, which was out of place.
Yeah.
And he got up and said, that, through misrepresentation, that that was one of the oldest roads in this country. Me sitting there hearing him and knowing he's lying all at the same time.
Yeah. Now that's not the preacher that...
No, well, the preacher over here that I'm a talk that I told you about is one of his followers, just like him.
Oh, he took after him. Now, old Vapor, is that it?
Old V-A-P-A.
Yeah.
And how that post office got the name. When this oil field started in here, there wasn't no post office over there.
Yeah.
The workers that came in from other fields,
mm-hmm.
the companies would bring them in, the men to, they had so many men, you see, that they had to start this work and be leaders of it. You see what I mean? Man had to know something about it before he could go ahead with it. So they brought me in from other countries.
Other companies.
From other companies. No, from the company in other counties, you see, where
yeah.
they had drilled.
Yeah.
This was a new field opening up.
Yeah.
Well, the Ohio Fuel was one company come in. The Virginia Gasoline and Oil was another. And the South Penn Oil Company. Now, noted as Penn's Oil.
Oh.
So that was the three companies, and these workers that had came in here, they took a letter out of the high fuel, you see. They took the O out of the high fuel oil company, and they took the V out of the Virginia. And the P from the South Penn, O, V, A, P, A.
Oh, they just made it up.
They made it up from the three oil companies.
Yeah. I would,
I've had folks ask me how come they get that name. Well, that's the way the name O'Vapor originated.
Yeah. Now, you got to O'Vapor by going up the branch?
Yes, sir.
And it ain't very far over there, 3 or 4 miles?
2 miles and a half.
Right up the branch.
Right up the road over there.
Right up the road over there. Well, what's there? Post office?
It's the post office now.
That's all it's there.
Yes, sir. Used to be a store. This postmaster that helped us to get a route changed this away. The lady, she was the postmaster,
mm-hmm.
lady of the house, and they had a little store then, but she sold out since it changed hands. The boy that come in took it over and took the farm over. He just, he quit the grocery business.
Mm-hmm. He got too much else to
Not a grocery man, in other words. So he still got the post office. And another thing, and then we'll go over to the country store. Not long back, the postmaster at Newton, they was a fellow that was postmaster, he retired, a man by the name of Kelly Hall. He's about my age, maybe a year or two old. He retired a few years back. Well, Lee Ellis, he took postmaster, and he retired. Well, when they retired, why, they brought a fellow, a man by the name of Cox, in here from Charleston. See how the public or the people or the government or whoever will work on people. Sent this man Cox in here from somewhere, maybe Charleston, as postmaster over here at Newton. Well, in a little while after he came in, they talked of doing away with this post office over here when Mrs. Jarvis, that was postmaster, got up ready to retire, let this other young fella have it, you see. They talked of doing away with O'Vapor. Well, in order to get that done, I'm not smart, but this is just what I figured out. They sent this man Cox in here, and I expect the post office department had laid the plans, and he tried to work to them. He tried to make this a star route through here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Send us a card and a box number. And if we'd accepted the card, if we'd accepted the star route and the box number, why, they'd have done away with this post office over here. Now, that's my, what I figured up. And I just said no. To get my mail here, I said to myself and I told other people, I said, if we accept this star route, why, we'll have to change our mail to Procius over on the hard road over yonder, or to Newton. O'Vapor's my address, and that's what I'm going to keep as long as the government leaves the post office.
Yeah.
So that's the way we still got it. We still got O'Vapor post office, and I didn't have to. You see, I'd had to went through all my business. Don't have much, but my insurance, I'd had to change. My address.
Everything,
I'd had to change my address, you see, from Crocus to Newton once.
I've been right by the post office at Avapa.
It's up just a little ways from where you turn up.
Oh.
Tell you what we'll do, that's get in the truck, and if Mom don't care, don't care for staying by herself here, we'll get in the truck and drive over to that little post office, or that little country store,
mm-hmm.
and we'll come back and I'll drive you up past the post office.
Yeah. Now, how do you get on the other branch of Granite Street?
Go right up past the post office.
Yeah.
We'll work that out later. Might see some country.
Okay. Now, what place was this that Junior bought?
Bullard.
That was Bullard right next to this. Clay Bullard?
Yes, sir.
He was right next to you.
Well, his daddy and mother, he was raised there.
I see. This boy. Oh, I see.
Bullard.
Yeah.
Clay was. He was raised there. Old man Houston and Lucy Bullard, that was his mother. Houston died. Clay buys this place off of his mother. And then he got in the notion, he's a trader, he got in the notion of selling it. And priced it to me, and I got the boys.
Yeah.
As I told you yesterday.
Well, was he living on it when he priced
yes,
it?
Yes, sir. He was living on it.
Well, and somehow then, I got the idea that Clay Bullard lived in one of these towns around here. But at that time, he lived right next to
that's him. That's right, yes. Then he moved up just a little ways above, next house up there, and then he traded that to a man by the name of Cal Wayne, and now he lives at Maysville over here, Bullard does.
Yeah.
Got a big place of business over there. He's made a success in business,
yeah.
If he doesn't have any education.
He made money.
Yeah.
Trading.
Started off that way.
What sort of business has he got now?
Well, he's got three of his children living right by him at Maysville, and his daughter married a friend, and he put in a truck topper outfit, these little tops, you know. He's building them right back of the garage. Well, one of his boys is got the grader. Well, him or that Clay, one of his twin boys has got the camper, the Gravely tractor sales.
Yeah.
His other twin boy has got the gasoline station. All in the same building.
Yeah.
And his next older boy had a barbershop in between the filling station and the tractor, Gravely tractor sale.
What do you know? What do you know?
So let's go.
What is this? What is this? The hard top there. What number is that? Number four?
No. I don't know.
But it's not 16.
No.
You don't?
No, this here is a country road. It's got a number. But I can't.
I mean the hardtop, right?
I can't call the number. That hardtop over there, it's got a number.
Yeah.
Goes over and down the other fork.
Yeah.
Just one number between this fork number and that and over there.
Oh, I see.
But I can't tell you the number.
Yeah. But 16 is the one that goes to Clay.
16's the one goes through Clay and up the river to Ivydale.
Yeah.
And comes back down and goes through Clay to Gully Bridge.
Yeah. Yes. And Route 4 goes down the river. Route 36 goes through here to Spencer, through Newton to Spencer.
Yeah. Well, let's go.
Well, Mom, we're going.
Now, you see, I actually asked me if I'd have some more coffee. Well, I had a full cup, but I just appreciate her asking me that.
Yeah.
And you know, at home, nobody ever asked me if I want some coffee, and I never asked them anybody else they wanted. I figure they can just go over and get it. And she said she reckoned she was old fashioned.
Well, yes, that is old fashioned. Like I said, if there's a bunch of men around this table, they'd be back when I was young, and they'd be some woman standing waiting on the table.
Yeah.
it used to always bother me when I was right real hungry, passing me stuff, asking me, I'd have to get my mouth empty enough to answer them, you see. Say yes or no.
Yeah. Yes, so whoever was there, the women would
that's right.
Would stand behind you and
that's right.
See to it you got
mm-hmm.
something.
But now the little guy, he got up and went and got his coffee. Now, he puts the buckets on the table, and when we get a coffee drunk up, I never, she got my coffee this morning, but usually, most of the time, well, I just go get the coffee pot and warm her coffee up. She never drinks a cup as quick as I do.
Yeah.
Get my own coffee, you see. We're used to kind of waiting on ourselves. We've changed that much.
Yeah, but you haven't just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little.
Well, now, when I come down this morning, I thought y'all was up and stirring.
Yeah.
And you walked on out there. And I forget what was said, but first thing you know, I looked at the mamas out there.
Yeah, I asked you how cold it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got talking about the weatherman missing it.
I wouldn't tell you. I said, what did the weatherman say?
Yeah.
Well, he said upper 20s.
So. Upper 20s to the low 30s.
And it was 40.
Yeah.
39.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Another prediction for tonight. Upper 20s to low 30s.
Yeah. Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good night, yeah.
Well, now, like you said, it was overcast, and that might have kept it a little bit warmer.
That kept the frost off.
Oh, yeah.
You never seen a frost get up in the morning and cloudy. Now, it's cloudy, overcast.
Yeah.
You get up in the morning and it's cloudy, you never see no frost.
Well, if it's very cold, it won't be cloudy, will it?
No.
It's got to have enough moisture and warmth to.
Well, now, I tell you, maybe. Now, I was up 5 minutes to 2.
Yeah.
Went to the bathroom. Look
looked out the bathroom window there, and the skies were just clearer. It's crystal. Went in there and wasn't satisfied. Went and looked out the window in there, bedroom window. Moon shining bright, just clear as a crystal, stars shining.
Yeah. Where, what time was that?
That was 5 minutes to two.
Oh, yeah.
Morning.
Yeah.
And when I woke up, turned the radio on at 7:15.
Yeah.
Well, I looked out and I could hear cloudy overcast back through there. Clouded up since 2 o'clock.
Well, I woke up at 4 o'clock, but I forget whether it was stars right or not. Well, Leo said, you see, I said now you don't have any, nobody pays attention to you. Nobody eats breakfast, nobody talks. You see, we got up talking, waiting.
Yeah, yeah.
But nobody gets up awake now. They get up groggy.
That's right. That's right. Well, if it wasn't for letting Mom get her proper rest in the morning, I wake up from 5 to 5:30.
Yeah.
I was waiting at 25 minutes after 5 this morning.
Yeah.
Wide awake, could have got up.
Yeah.
And told her she kind of woke up drowsy like. I said, if it wasn't for bothering you, I'd turn the radio on.
But if you used to get up, she couldn't go back to sleep, could she?
No. Well, no, she wouldn't.
She wouldn't.
She wouldn't.
Yeah.
Think it's time to get up.
You know, I think that a lot of times. I ought to roll on out and get out and start doing something, see? But I just wait around.
Have to. It's, you take... She's used to getting up, and I never go out and go do anything before breakfast anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Used to, I'd get up when I was steaming, working in the oil field, I'd get up and go feed my horses.
Yeah.
Fed them all they'd eat, you see,
yeah.
Oats and chop.
Yeah.
And they had to have time to eat.
Yeah.
So I had to do that, but anymore.
Yeah.
I never go out. It's an emergency if I go outside to do anything before breakfast.
You don't even get the Imogene until after you eat.
No. That's the reason the milk's unregular.
Yeah. And that pushes the milkings close together.
Closer together, yeah.
Well, now, we were talking about going to the store, you see. Well, you have some good company, and Leo was laughing. But now, you know, we'll have a time going to that store.
Well, it'll be amusing. It'll be something new for you.
Well, it'll be interesting.
Yes, it'll be interesting, and everything will go along. Well, it'll just be a nice trip.
Yeah.
That's all.
And you never can know just what's going to happen.
No.
But something always happens, don't it?
That's right, yes.
Yeah.
Well, one thing you'll see, now, this is Wednesday the 2nd. Tomorrow's the 3rd. Tomorrow's, as some of them call it, check day.
Yeah.
Some call it payday.
Yeah. They still use the old word.
Yeah, one old fella that was, they owned the Ward Mines up on Middle Creek, three brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And they mined out, and they just got, they had to move off of Middle Creek. They was right by the hard road. Their chute, or whatever you call it, crossed the hard road.
Mm-hmm.
Up where the coal come down and went into the railroad car. So, one of these brothers is yet active but not working.
Yeah.
And he draws his check, so he did a month. Usually Steve, a lot of times I see him when, and he knows me well, for he lived that close to high school, got acquainted with him riding bus. And he always says something or another about being payday or
check day.
Check day. Bank will be full of old people.
Yeah, yes, and they go right on in. They don't wait, do they?
Yeah, that's right.
They get the checks on
The third, and they cash them on the third.
Yeah.
Has to be something. It has to be something unusual if they don't.
Yeah. So they gotta have money at that store.
It's not that the store, the merchants is not that chinchy and tight. But it's just a routine that they practice. See.
Well,
and another thing. Now, a lot of people don't do that, but when we. I'd signed up on Social Security for it. Well, when the woman went in and signed up, why, they wanted to know if it wouldn't, if they couldn't just put us both on one check, for she was drawing off my earnings, you see.
Yeah.
And, of course, that was all right. So we just get one check, where most of men and women get separate checks.
Oh, do they?
But if something happened to me or happened to her, why, we couldn't use that check.
Yeah.
See what I mean? We got sent back.
Yeah. Well, now this, you talking about that hollering. I said I remembered that. I don't remember it. If you want a little help, you hollered.
That's right.
Don't you don't need to use the name, just tell me about it.
I'm so bad about using names, I'd rather not go into that.
Well, that's part of our fun, you see. We can't.
Well, I'll tell you this much of it.
All right.
There was three of us working together.
Yeah.
Yeah, before we got our bill. When we stacked hay.
Yeah.
Had three farms to work over.
Yeah.
And we had the tractor and the mower. Mm-hmm. And then when it come time to rake, picked up old Babe and broke down. Horse drawn weight down there to rake it. Well, when it gets cut and gets ready to go to raking, then it was holler. So I was going to the market one Friday, and I told him, I said, well, now I'll take whatever we're taking in, hay for a cow or something, to market and get back by noon and I'll rake that hay at the hillside up under in the boy's place, cut down. I said, I'll rake that hay. Afternoon. Well, come back and got old Babe and went up and waked it. Nobody showed up.
Nobody showed up.
Well, I had a little more cutting to do the next morning, and when I took the tractor up through the bottom, and come around bustling. Why didn't you holler? I didn't know you ate this yesterday, didn't you? I was kind of irritated. I said, holler or nothing. I said, that's all I've done all summer, holler. I'm not quit. I said, I cut the hay. cures, and I rake it.
Yeah.
Then when it gets raked, ready, haul and stack, well, I've got to go to the woods and cut stacking poles. So they four or five stacking poles at the bottom fixed that evening.
Yeah? Is that right?
It broke the engine.
Is that right? Now, how do you stack that stuff? You get your pole, I understand. How do you fix the bottom?
Well, you just get poles. And if you want a big stack, you put 10 or 12 foot poles down.
Keep it off the ground?
Keep it off the ground.
Yeah.
Keep it molded.
Yeah.
Now, people have got so... for long in such a big hurry, they don't get put no tack bottoms under it now.
Mm-hmm.
But back in my early farming days, I'd never stack a haystack without a bottom.
Yeah.
And I would take about four poles, lay this away, two right on each side of this stack pole, one on the outside out here.
Yeah.
Then take and start this way.
Cross them.
So you see that give air.
Yeah.
And you never had no more to hay.
Well, now, would that last the next year too?
Oh, yes. Yes, and we'd usually a lot of people would leave the stack poles in and set the bottoms up around the poles on the end.
Now say that again.
I say a lot of people would leave the stack poles in the ground and stand the bottoms on the end up around.
Keep them from rotting.
Yeah. And wouldn't take up so much
grass.
You see.
Yeah, that's right.
But eventually, later years, they got to taking them down, hauling them out to the side, hauling them up, and taking them over the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Much easier to hit. It's bothersome even with plow horses to mow up to a stump or some obstruction.
Mm-hmm.
And you take the stack bottoms, maybe they'd be four or five poles together, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Took a whole lot of cutting with scythe. And back in the early days when we cut with horses, person wouldn't go out to mow hardly without he had somebody to hook after him with the scythe.
Oh, really?
That's right. They was always.
Oh, I see. This.
Back when I first started here, before I had any youngins, I had a hoy man.
Go up and.
To a hoy man to go with me.
Well, you missed it.
Yes, and hook after me.
You couldn't go back with him more, because then it would choke up with the hay that was down.
Well, if you got over, unless you went cleaned it outside, say you lay like a half a length of a cutter bar going to the fence.
Yeah.
Why, then when you'd choke up with your hay, like you said.
Yeah. Well, now, you know, you got to tell stories about people and tell, you see, now when I leave here, it'll be an injustice to me if you don't tell some stories on me, you see, about how I messed things up and how I couldn't get the toaster to flip up, so I just sewed it down the other morning.
Just picked it up and throw it down. Yeah, that's right.
Well, now, Leo, he tell that sort of story. He's seen me do that sort of thing. Well, but see, you expect that, don't you? I mean, you tell stories on your neighbors. Your neighbors tell stories on you. You know.
Well, yes. Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Now, I don't know any.
Right.
I haven't heard them tell one, but I'll bet you they do.
Well, I'll tell you a story that broke. When you said your neighbors tell stories on you, I don't hear it, but I'm going to tell one that happened to me and a neighbor lives up here for this old house in Holler.
Yeah.
When the first pipeline went through here, went up through and went out into the other fellow's place there where the boy owns.
Go ahead and talk.
They took his, he had a dream from a spring out into the creek on his own land. Well, when he went through with the pipeline, they tore that up. Well, when he went to put it back, why, he just put it out across his road and runs out into the upper end of my barn.
Yeah.
That, well, I seen that it was getting my bottom wet.
Yeah.
Water running from the spring, overflow water from the spring running right down in the bottom.
Yeah.
So I went up.
And once your land gets wet, it holds it.
Yes. I went up and asked him why he did that. And asked him why he didn't put it on out the creek. Well, he said it's close to settling.
Yeah.
That word, he runs right out, put it on me. But he just run it up close to the line as he could.
Yeah.
And now the pipe was, and the water running out of it. And he didn't give me much satisfaction. He kind of got a little bit rosy.
Oh, did he?
I said, well, all right. I said, that's the way you feel about it. I was driving school buses.
Yeah.
That's the way you feel about it. Me and the boys bring the horses and plow up more evening after I get in from school.
Yeah.
And I can ditch this. I've got ground here enough. I'll put this water in the creek on my side here.
Yeah.
That's the way you feel about it. So the next day evening, as I come down the road with the school bus, seen him up there. He's digging his ditch out into the creek and changing his pipeline.
Yeah.
So you see, well, I skipped and left out some. I'll have to bring Mom in this.
I bring her in.
she maybe forgot it, but it made me mad.
No, she hadn't, she said.
It made me mad when I seen what he'd done, you know.
Yeah.
She wouldn't let me go till I kind of cooled off until, and she'd work me over till I held my temper, and we didn't fall out. When the old man sold out and left, well, we were still good friends.
Yeah.
Well, I told him if he went up there mad.
Yeah.
As soon as he got started on that bus the next one, I'd go up there and dig that ditch myself.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to see him have trouble.
Now, she said, she told you, if you went up there mad, she'd go up there the next morning and dig that ditch herself, because she didn't want to have all that.
Well, reason she intervened there and come in on the scene, she didn't want us to fall out, have a neighborhood feud, you see.
Well, now, you can tell them on yourself.
Well, that's self-experience.
Yeah. Well, now, the other day, you see, when you had word about that needing that rake, you got so rattled you couldn't work down there.
No comments.
You even wrecked your tractor.
Yeah. creek flood, we lived in.
Yeah.
But the bank broke off. That's what caused me to get in the creek. The bank broke.
The bank broke?
Yes, it was. It was undermined underneath.
Yes, but you was also rattled. I say rattled so much of the time. It's nothing unusual with me.
Well,
I'm gonna tell you, Burl, this this trip we took yesterday. Now that's the first time I had any notion much of where we are, and I still can't quite picture it, of course. But when you go up the fork, you got to go over that mountain before you get anywhere, haven't you?
Well, sure.
You got to climb a mountain.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good sized mountain.
Yes, and it's a bad mountain, one time.
Yeah. Now, is up the top of that mountain, the first mountain there, is that where Summer's Fork began?
Yes. Yes. Over there.
Down
top
there
of the mountain, that's Summer's Fork Green.
Yeah.
This side is Fanny Creek.
Now you get to the top of the mountain, and then you go down pretty fast, don't you? And turn due right.
On the hard road, yes.
Well, is hard road?
Yes.
No, I meant the crooked road.
Wait.
There.
No, we don't start down the mountain and go out the ridge. Quarter of a mile.
Oh,
then turn
right
and go down the mountain.
Yes,
go down
I had.
Feet.
Yes, I'd clear forgot that ridge.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's level out there for quarter of a mile. Well, better than quarter of a mile to say.
Yeah. Because we talked there about the ridge, the pasture on the ridge, and that's where you had most of your pasture.
Neighbors over there had the pasture.
Yeah.
I'll have to go. Imogene is.
She waiting on you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can. I'll go in the rest of a trip.
How is Miss Imogene this morning?
All right. She's slow about coming, though. I got way out there and begin to get aggravated. Looked up. Here she come running.
Yeah.
I started and she come running right after me.
I heard you speaking to her and I figured she was a little slow.
Nah. It ain't a word.
It's over here that's trouble is. Go ahead.
So this, after that, this brother and five fellas had went over here to the machine shop at Clay to get some stems and bring in for the field to store on the yard, you know, in case they'd knock a pin off of one, they'd have a stem. They'd sent them and had them repaired, you see, at the machine shop over here. Well, they sent five pair of horses over there for after them, and my brother's two pair went. Well, got them to the foot of the hill over here, and one of my brother's horses got knocked out. And he called for me to go with my little horses and bring his load on in to the yard, you see. Well, this fellow that I'd out pulled was along, and his brother knew that he had a gripe against me, you know.
Mm-hmm. As afterwards.
That's Ashwood, yeah. And his old big horses, they soured on him, and as the saying is, that's the word we'd use when we'd stick.
Yeah.
And we had to roll it up over. We was going up the slope over there where I showed you, but it wasn't paved then, where I showed you where my bus was let loose.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's where it was. But it wasn't paved, it's mud. They was rocks raised up like that.
Great big rocks.
Yeah. And when your wheel would hit them, if your horse was let off, you were stuck.
Oh.
Your jack would catch it and you were stuck.
Yeah.
Had to have some help. So we had to roll this brother of the fellows that tuck up for me with his big horses, you know. So I was behind this old Homer, was his name. He said he isn't on up on top. He had a good fare he could depend on like mine, you know. He knew mine would do it. But he spiked him a little bit, got him a handful of gravels, got up on the bank, and watched when my wheels was to hit that raise up where his brother's old big pair had soured on it. He just sprinkled them gravels over my little horses. Boys, they just hit her like that.
Oh.
And, oh, he just cackled and laughed.
He was showing them off, wasn't he?
Showing his brother off,
yes.
You see.
Showing your horses off.
Well, they showed themselves off. They'd do it.
Yeah.
I've pulled them many a time up banks and wouldn't pull them over 4 or 5 feet when he's pulling them all they could do. And I've had a lot of fellas to stop at the foot of a short bank with the horses, and they wouldn't stop on the bank. They'd go on to the top.
Yeah. That's what you want them to do.
No. No. My horses, they'd start at any horse. One time there was a fellow said to me, he'd run his'n up over the bank. When I stopped on right on the hardest pull, oh, you made a mistake, you're stuck. I said, no, I'm not stuck. I said, them horses will start more than they can pull. More than they can walk with.
Mm-hmm.
They can't start that, they can't walk with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the attitude I took. I didn't pull my horses till they got out of breath, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So, a fella, I like I said a lot of times, I wasn't smart, but I knew my horses, and they knew me.
Yeah.
And I could depend on them, and they'd depend on me.
Yeah.
To take care of.
Well, now, you kept them a while.
Yes, well, yes. Good pair of horses. A pair like them now would, well, I started to say $1,000, but they wouldn't stop at $1,000.
Well, you wouldn't have them trained right now. You wouldn't find them. They wouldn't be working.
That's it. You don't find them.
Now, we come on. Now, that's...
I'll go ahead just a little further now, since we're on the horse proper feature.
Sure.
There was a neighbor up here went to the Lewisburg Fair, State Fair, up at Lewisburg. Just here, September 19th to the 25th, I believe. Anyhow, it's just recently over with. So there was one pair of horses there. They had a pulling contest. And there was one pair there that one of them weighed over 2,500 pounds. And the other one was way up next to the weight. The big one, And they took the champion. They pulled the champion load. And what do you suppose the champion load was in hundreds?
5,500.
6,500. And them little horses that I had that I was talking about, I was working them up here, moving a string of tubes, and when this oil field was in, boom. Well, a woman got sick here and called for me. Well, this lady that was here last night, sister-in-law, she was here and sent her husband, up after me, and he took my horses and worked them that evening, that afternoon. They had an oil field boiler sitting on the ground, and it was too close to the engine house. The drillers and tool dressers was there rigging up as that we moved the material in, you know, and they wanted, the drillers and tool dressers wanted the boiler moved back. They got too close. Well, they moved it in there with oxen, 6 or 8 yoke oxen. The drilling contractor had. He had the oxen to move his own tools, but they was in a crowd for this push for this well to start. And they got the horses in there to help. So, that my brother, he liked to see a horse pull. And when they mentioned about moving back, moving the boiler back, he said, throw a chain on there. Talk quick and fast. Said, I'll hook old Martin Dock on it. The rest of the fellas kind of laughed at him. So he hooked them horses on that boiler. And they got down there and pulled it right on back, placed it where the drillers and tool dressers were. And it weighed 9,500 pounds. So you see, today they're wagging and blowing about what horses they have. They don't have anything to what we had back them days when we worked them and fed them.
Now your brother could handle horses too.
Well, he's my brother, but he thought he could.
Yeah.
He mistreated them.
Pulled them too hard.
Yes, and pulled them when it wasn't necessary. My horses, the reason they were so strong, the reason they held up so good, not patting myself on the back, but I kept ever pulling them I could keep.
Oh, did you?
Didn't pull them only when it was necessary.
Yeah.
And when it was necessary, I know they had it.
Oh, I see. You wouldn't have volunteered and said, hook
no,
me up there.
No. No. No man's not giving his dumb brute justice when he does that.
Well, now, Don, that slide that you where you said, I didn't know what you're talking about, but it was 10 or 15, 20 foot across, and it was caked and sinking. Now, will that just go on down?
Well, till it strikes solid. It may eventually strike solid ground and they'll get enough fill in there, and it'll strike solid ground down below and eventually stop if they still keep putting enough fill in.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
But now they've got to go ahead and put some fill in there now, haven't they?
Yes. Yes. It's still a sinking yet.
Yeah. Well, now they got pavement over there. They got more than you have over here. But still, the logging, them big heavy logging trucks come over on your side.
Yes. Well, I asked one of the drivers why they didn't go up there to the fork. They had a better stabilized road up that way. Well, he said the big man went up that way, and they had some warriors across the line that they couldn't get the booms under, the loading and booms under. So, looked like we might
Put a few wires over here.
Looks like might be, yes.
Yeah. Well, now, that side, to me, looked a whole lot different from this side over here. The road and the upkeep of the property and all.
Well, that's what keeps the strife and jealousy up. Must be. They know good farming land over there. This is not nothing to brag of, but like you said, it's better than that over there.
Well, don't you know, we passed that one place and we were talking about it and looked over there and it had grass in it, but it wasn't being used. It wasn't kept up.
That's right. No, he don't never cut no grass. Like I told you, that one place right in the head of the creek, all that there left-hand side across to the side of the house there, as I told you, the third man back that owned that, Strickland, that was where, in the barn right across from that house, was where the man was about to whoop me for out for him when his brother took up for him. And that whole hill there, he'd mowed that with a pair of horses. Put up hill.
And now it's all growed up.
Yeah.
And it's growed up on the other side where you can see it. A lot of places it's brushy.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, it hits the whole thing. The whole hollow's growed up about. Till you get down there to where I mentioned about my friend and seen him standing up at the end of the house, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he does. He mows his grass, don't he?
Yes, he mows his grass. He's got some nice little bottoms there.
He's got bottoms?
Yeah.
Does he take care of his bottoms?
Kindly.
What has he got there? Grass or corn?
Grass.
Now
he's got some farm machinery. He's got tractor, baler.
Yeah. Oh, has he?
Yeah. So,
now, you was on a committee.
Didn't they?
I did. I'm expecting a call from Charleston.
You was on a committee. There was three of you. Two from that side and one from this side.
Yeah.
Now, what was that that was supposed to do?
Well, that was the Community Action Program Committee. We were supposed to work together and pull for the community's roads.
Hello?
So I was by myself. They got me on the committee. And the Q.
Brown. Never Brown.
Was it ringing for Brown?
Yeah, he was.
Just trying it again.
Yeah.
Let me see.
Yeah.
job when I come up big like this.
This is the end of the talk on Wednesday morning, the 2nd of October 74. This is the end of the talk on Wednesday morning, the 2nd of October 74. And channel 1 over around 1700.
People and